from KQED.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. Later today, President Barack Obama is expected to launch a major push for immigration reform. It's a big moment for advocates from California who've been lobbying for this day for years in Washington, D.C. Jacob Fenston reports.
Rewind to November 1994. California Republicans, led by Governor Pete Wilson, passed sweeping anti-immigrant legislation only to spark a backlash and an electoral losing streak going on two decades.
When Pete Wilson began attacking immigrants, he made us aware that we needed to become citizens, we needed to participate.
Eliseo Medina is secretary-treasurer of the Service Employees International Union. He grew up in Delano in the Central Valley and worked with Cesar Chavez. He says the 2012 presidential election was to the nation what 1994 was to California, a political earthquake.
California is what it is today because immigrants began to take action on their own behalf. And I think what happened in California is catching up throughout the rest of the country.
California has the largest immigrant population in the nation and was one of the first majority-minority states. Benjamin Todd Jealous, director of the NAACP, is another California native. He says immigration reform is particularly needed in a state so dependent on immigrant labor.
We have got to find a way to, on the one hand, keep our state productive, meeting the food needs of our state, the country, and the world, and on the other hand, do so in a way that is humane.
Yesterday on Capitol Hill, a bipartisan group of senators released an immigration reform blueprint. It would include an agriculture guest worker program, more green cards for scientists and engineers, as well as a verification system to keep employers from hiring undocumented workers. For the California Report, I'm Jacob Fenston.
Before sunrise, a delegation of farm workers left Bakersfield to head to Las Vegas, where the president will deliver his speech. There have been a lot of promises for immigration reform made over the years, but United Farm Workers President Arturo Rodriguez is guardedly optimistic.
Farm workers want to hear that they are going to be provided with that path to citizenship, that it's real, that there's a real commitment on the part of the President of the United States to really make this happen.
Farm owners are also hopeful. A statement by Western Growers, a group representing California and Arizona farmers, says it looks forward to working with senators leading the reform effort in Washington, D.C. to ensure whatever plan is developed works for agriculture in this part of the country. From political shakeups to the kind of shakeups we worry about in the wee hours, earthquakes. Imagine if we had an early warning system that gave everybody a few seconds to brace for impact. Japan has such a system. When that massive quake hit in 2011, a sensor embedded in the ground sent out an alert that launched warnings across the country. If you'd been watching a parliament hearing on TV that fateful day, you would have heard the proceedings interrupted. Like this. The man talking over those chimes is warning that a strong earthquake is about to hit the northern part of the country. KPCC's Molly Peterson tells us a state lawmaker from Pacoima would love to see something similar in California before the next big one hits.
The U.S. Geological Survey already can notify state and local emergency responders when shaking starts along a fault line. Democrat Alex Padilla wants to use that technology to give the public 30 to 60 seconds warning as a quake approaches.
There's plenty of time to, you know, grab your loved ones, get into a safer place, stop trains, stop truck traffic, you know, interrupt surgeries in the hospital. I mean, the benefits of an early warning system are huge.
California lags behind Mexico and Japan in creating a public early warning system. Even so, Padilla says he won't seek money from the state's general fund for it. Instead, he says he's looking for creative financing for the project, which could cost up to $80 million. That could mean a public-private partnership or support from the federal government. Padilla announced his bill at the California Institute of Technology. Earlier this month, Caltech scientists announced new research suggesting that a single megaquake on the San Andreas Fault could strike both Northern and Southern California at the same time. Padilla says the possibility of a statewide quake argues for the statewide warning plan. For the California Report, I'm Molly Peterson.
This week, state lawmakers are focused on the Affordable Care Act. They're meeting in a special session in Sacramento to hash out the logistical details of fully enacting health care reform by next January. It's a big deal, and the special session allows for laws to take effect within 90 days rather than next year. A new state-run insurance market is supposed to be up and running by October, so those rules need to be established. And Medi-Cal, the federally funded health care program for low-income residents, will need to be dramatically expanded. KPCC's Julie Small has more.
Medi-Cal, California's version of the federal government's Medicaid program, provides care to 8 million low-income residents. Under the federal Affordable Care Act, California can choose to expand the program to include a million more people. Assembly Speaker John Perez says it's got to be done.
Ensuring that every Californian has access to quality, affordable health care is one of the most important public policy challenges we face.
Perez crafted legislation to expand Medi-Cal to anyone who earns up to 133% of the federal poverty level. That's an annual wage of $15,400 for a single person. The bill would also let foster care youth stay on Medi-Cal until they turn 26, and it simplifies Medi-Cal paperwork. As for the cost of adding more people to Medi-Cal, Speaker Perez says his bill doesn't deal with that because no one yet knows what the cost will be.
It really depends on how quickly we move people into coverage and then what people's utilization rates are. And so really, that is a completely unpredictable number at this point.
Perez says that's why the federal government will pick up 100% of the tab for the first 3 years. California will have that time to figure out what Medi-Cal expansion costs are and how to pay for them. After 3 years, the state government is on the hook to pick up 10% of Medi-Cal's costs. Governor Jerry Brown has proposed to offset the cost by holding on to some of the money the state gives to counties to care for the poor. Counties will push back on that one. They must treat anyone who can't afford health insurance. For the California Report, I'm Julie Small.
Another hot topic in Sacramento, gun control. In a joint legislative hearing yesterday, Democratic Assembly members announced 9 bills they want to push through this year. Some have already debuted. We've reported, for instance, on a measure by Assemblywoman Nancy Skinner of Berkeley that would tighten the rules governing ammunition sales. But now we're headed into spreadsheet territory. One bill yet to be introduced by Assemblyman Tom Amiano of San Francisco would require safe storage of guns, especially in homes with children. An Assemblyman Roger Dickinson of Sacramento is interested in requiring the pension funds CalPERS and CalSTRS run to divest from companies that manufacture, sell, distribute, or market firearms or ammunition. That's the California Report for Tuesday, January 29th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, with nomination information about the 2014 James Irvine Foundation Leadership Awards, available at www.irvine.org. Chevron, committed to helping California grow by supporting small businesses and investing in education. More information available at chevron.com. And the California Endowment, Health Happens in Neighborhoods, at calendow.org.